You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Todd Zwillick filling in for John and Celeste this morning. Well, Google is a lot more than searches. Google is Gmail, it's GChat, Google Docs, YouTube, and the Android mobile phone operating system. And of course, Google is Gmaps. Between a billion and 1.5 billion people use Google services, which means that's half to three quarters of all internet users in the world. And all of that information, all of those services could soon be unified, aggregated all together so that Google can, quote, better tailor its services. Well, the move is problematic, especially because unlike with privacy settings on sites like Facebook or LinkedIn, Google users cannot opt out of this new aggregation. There are a lot of people questioning the amount of control that Google is gaining over private information because it controls all these different platforms I just mentioned. Well, joining us now to tell us more about the company's new privacy policy and what it means for you, and frankly for me, is Ryan Single. He's editor of Threat Level, the privacy and security blog for Wired. Ryan, good morning.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you. So, Ryan, get us up to date on exactly what Google's doing to adjust its privacy policy. What are they doing?
Sounds great. What they're doing is, it's a little technical, but essentially they've got these sort of silos of information. The things you do in Gmail, the things you do in Google, the things you do on YouTube, all of those things used to be fairly much separate. And with the new privacy policy, they're essentially destroying all these silos. So they all sort of go together. Google says, here's how it's going to work, and this is why you're going to love it, is say you've got your Android phone and you've got something in your calendar that you're going to meet somebody at 5 p.m. and it knows where you are and it can see that the traffic is really bad. It can send you a reminder that says, hey, leave now, you're going to be late for this meeting, right? So you've broken down this sort of barrier between, you know, what's known about your cell phone and what's in your calendar, and it can be really helpful.
But let's face it, that's not what really Google wants to do. Google doesn't want to remind me that traffic's really bad and leave now. Google wants to make more money selling ads because they know what I search for or where I am.
Exactly. So, for instance, right now, you know, if you've signed up for Gmail, you're used to seeing some ads that are kind of relevant to your current email or something, an email you've sent in the last couple of days. So, but Google has always said, we're not going to build a profile of you. So if you've emailed recently about, you know, about a restaurant you might see or a pizza place, you might see an ad for pizza place. What Google's saying now is that anything you've ever typed into Gmail, any email you've ever seen, is perfectly fine for them to use to make a profile of you. And so you combine, you know, in my case, I've got 17 gigs of email, and you combine that with all the things in my searches and all the things I've watched on YouTube, and Google is now basically saying, we're going to make the mother of all profiles about you.
And this can be a huge part of somebody's online life. Ryan, I have an Android phone. I'm holding it right now, and I run Gmail all the time, usually GChat. I'm on Gmaps a lot. This seems to be a particular issue, concern, if you will, for people with Android phones.
Oh, I think exactly. And I think this is actually, you know, Android is really the point. So, you know, if you've got this, like, monster profile, you get to do something that's kind of along the lines of, like, Facebook. So, you know, think about the ads you normally see in search. Normally that ad is just keyed off of what you type in. So if you type in sunglasses, you and everybody else is going to get the exact same ad. Some advertiser buys the word sunglasses and you see that ad. What Google wants to do now is kind of like Facebook, which is like Facebook's ads. Somebody buys, you know, they say, we want to just target anyone who likes Eminem. Like, we've got a new artist who's kind of like him. Show this ad to that person. And that's where Google wants to go. They're very clearly trying to go after this Facebook model where they know everything about you and they can, you know, targeted an ad exactly at your interest, regardless of what you're doing at the time.
What are they doing to assure me that all of this information is anonymous, that I'm a user, not, you know, in this case, Todd Zwillick radio guy, and that it's not, that information's not going to get out? And should I believe them?
You know, Google's actually been very good about selling and not selling this kind of information. And I don't think this privacy change is going to change that. It just means that before, Google was able to make an incredible amount of money by not building a profile of you. So you just have to feel, I think in this case, you have to sort of make the decision, like, do you feel okay with Google, you know, building this secret profile of you and, you know, knowing all of your interests. And, you know, the thing is, it's like it's with Facebook, when you tell them something, you kind of know you're telling Facebook something. With Google, it's like your calendar, your email, you just forget about it, your searches. So it's like you kind of let Google into like the secret, you know, things in your life that maybe even your family doesn't know about.
Becomes the fabric of your life in a lot of ways, and people are used to their online life being when they're sitting at their laptop. That's not the case anymore.
No, it's not. And Google has been so, I don't want to sound like a fanboy here, but Google has been so admirably restrained in how they've used the data that we've given them. And so that's why this policy change is such a sea change for them. Like, they really are sort of saying, you know, we can do anything with it, and just trust us. We'll make it so that you love us. You know, we'll be the softer, gentler big brother.
Well, Ryan Siegel, Single from Wired. So the obvious question here in the minute we have left is, what can I do? I can't opt out. I can't keep my phone off. I suppose I could junk the Android. If I'm going to use my Android phone or use Google services, which I am, what can I do? Should I do anything to minimize this destroying of silos?
The best thing you could do if you're worried about this stuff is they still keep some opt-out things. So Google has a program called Web History that most people don't know about, where they essentially watch and sort of catalog of every link that you've ever clicked on in a Google search. So find Web History and look at it, and if it bothers you, clear it out. They also have some ad preferences that you can go in and tell them, you know, don't give me personalized ads. So if you find that creepy, there's still some options to get out of it. But the sharing of the data, it seems it's either like you live in a Google world or you don't. That's kind of your choice now.
And that's your choice if you feel like somebody's watching you over at Google. Well, Ryan Siegel is editor of the Threat Level blog, the privacy and security blog at Wired. Ryan, thanks for walking us through Google's pervasive and new privacy policies. They may not be selling the information, but they are watching. Ryan, thank you.
Todd, thanks so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.